start, and if Kim gets here, we can just catch her up if we need.
I know, what the heck, where's she?
She's probably stuck in traffic.
Kimberly?
Was it?
I just came from downtown where she,
I did too, I'm.
Like, two blocks from where she works, I work, I had no issues, I went.
Yeah, I didn't either.
You do.
I down on church.
So that's, traffic is not gonna be an excuse.
Well, maybe work.
Work would be.
Well, work is, but not traffic.
Okay.
All right.
Jump on in.
Yeah, well, so let's do this, I guess. I appreciate everyone coming for our annual audit committee meeting, and like I say, my goal is that this is as boring as possible, because for an audit committee, boring is good.
That's right.
That means no one's wearing orange suits, and we all, we all get to hang out at home for the rest of our lives, so.
I know, Kathy makes this really smooth, though, she's not boring, Tim.
And this is Kathy Wilson, she's the audit partner at Grove, Mueller, and Swank. And we've had the privilege of working with you for 4, 5, 6 years now. So.
The December 13 letter was very boring, thank you. Yeah, I like it.
We appreciate clients that allow us to be boring.
It's funny, I go to the GFOA conferences every year, and all the people I talk with, they would say, so who's your audit partner? And I would tell them, or whoever it was, or who was the manager, and they said, well, how come you're not with Kathy? You need to be with Kathy, she's the best. So when we finally got Kathy, I thought, like, now I can go back to GFOA concerts and brag with everyone else. So I was finally part of the cool kid club.
Oh, good, finally.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
So the first order of business today is the approval of the prior year minutes. So if there's anyone who'd like to make a motion.
I move that we approve the 2019 minutes.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There we go. So I guess the next order is the comprehensive annual financial report, the big document. There's a couple areas that I kind of wanted to point out. So if you would turn to page, I guess it's Roman numeral 4. Pleased to announce that our 2017-18 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report got the Certificate of Achievement. This is the 20th year in a row that we've received this award. It's not easy to get, and not every city gets it in the state of Oregon. So it's one of the ways that we as a city try to do our best, be transparent with all of our financial obligations, all of our reporting. And that's kind of the sign, it's kind of the gold seal standard for government reports.
And who awards this?
This is from the Government Finance Officer Association. So this is a national organization.
Oh, wow.
That they have a program where they review thousands of financial statements every year. And like I say, this is our 20th year receiving this honor. So I'm happy to say that it is a joint effort between all of the city departments and finance staff, and also close coordination with our auditors as well. So I'm proud to say we got it for 20 years now. So yeah. They used to give us a plaque, and now they just give us a little sticky thing.
Jeez, they've gotten cheap.
Plaques. Boxes of plaques in our archive.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Saving somebody some money, that's appreciated.
Yeah.
And we have submitted the current year financial statements, the 18-19, for the same process. So we'll find out about that probably in December-ish. January, sometime in that period. Also on the page, the Distinguished Budget Presentation Award. While not necessarily related to financial reporting, our budget has received the award for 5 years as at the time this document was put together. But we actually received notice that our 1920 also has gotten the award as well. So that will make for 6 years in a row. The next page would be page 5.
Traffic bad?
I couldn't get in the parking lot. All the cars were in and out, and I sat out here for 4 minutes trying to get a place to park.
That's weird.
Oh, that's right. There's an award, or there's a dinner tonight, isn't there? Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, that's fine.
So on this page, on page 5, really what I wanted to highlight is the statements of net position. The very bottom lines, this is kind of a gauge for me is the financial health of the city overall. As we look at it, the governmental activities, the total net position went from $65.1 million in 2018 We dropped a little bit to 65 million, so about 100,000. We had a little bit of a deterioration, but when you're looking at $64 million, it's really not that bad overall. So we're kind of holding steady with the governmental funds. With the business type funds, we actually increased our net position from 11.8 million to 12.6 million. The primary reason for that is we had the delay in several of the capital improvement projects. So that'll probably swing the opposite way when we start looking at the 19-20 budgets. But overall, from a financial standpoint, we're kind of treading water, holding our own overall. The next page would be page 7. And really the primary thing I want to highlight here is we've had some changes in our governmental revenues. In the fees, fines, and charges for services, you're going to see a fairly large pickup in 2019 as compared to 2018. This is really the annualized effect of the police and the parks fee. So that's the line that you're seeing that. Also, you'll see in the right underneath that, the operating grants and contributions. We received about $434,000 in grants for the park phase two project at Kaiser Rapids Park. So that was for the bathroom, paving the park, and also putting down the new rubberized ground cover.
So got that in this budget?
Yeah, it completed last year.
That's right, because we don't get paid till it's complete, isn't that right?
Correct, it was after the fact.
That's right, all right.
So that's really the highlight there. And if there's other questions or anywhere as we go along, feel free to ask those. Let's see. Want to turn to page, go ahead.
I have a question. I don't know if it's in here or not. One of the meetings previously, somebody mentioned we've had a reduction of income from property taxes because somebody, is there a reason?
We did. You won't see it in this document. It'll be in our 19-20 financial statements. So you're not going to see a decrease necessarily. It's just a smaller increase in what we were anticipating.
Oh, okay. I was just like, how did
that work? So for budgeting purposes and over the last 5-6 years, we've been getting 4% plus as far as increases in property taxes. This year we've kind of hit the limit and we're going to see about a 3.3% increase. We have a 0.7%, I guess, a budget miss that we're going to have to deal with. And that equated to roughly $40,000-$50,000. On top of that, since we're talking about property taxes, there were several companies within Marion County that are appealing the property taxes. Combined, their assessments were something over $2 million of an impact. So working backwards based on our tax rate, that resulted in about another $40,000 hit to our property taxes. So we're looking at an $80,000 to $90,000 hit, which is pretty significant for our general fund. But I'll be talking a lot more about that when we do the long-range planning meeting. So don't tell anyone yet.
Yeah, I caught that the last
time.
Wait a minute, how'd that happen?
So. Yeah. And then that combined with our franchise fees, everyone cutting cable has had a significant impact on us as well.
Thanks.
If you want to turn to page 16, this is our statement of net position. So this would be the equivalent of a balance sheet for a business. Really the only thing I want to highlight here is PERS makes the news quite a bit with their 26 whatever billion dollar unfunded pension liability. For us, our net pension liability is about $9.1 million. So of the big number that PERS you see in the news all the time, we represent about $9.1 million of that. So it's relatively small in comparison, but we haven't been fully with PERS all that long. We're actually at the 10-year mark for most of the city. The police have always been with the PERS program, but the city side just came on about 10 years ago. If you want to turn to page 58, continuing on with the PERS conversation, as we talk about the net pension liability, that would be column B in this. You can see that the previous year, we were at $7.9 million is our net pension liability, and that grew to $9.1 million. There's several factors involved there, so don't think that we're not paying our liability. Primarily, we're seeing the interest returns from 2018, which were pretty miserable. That impacted the assessment, so that's why we're seeing the big pickup in 2019. I do anticipate, based off of the 2019 returns and the 2020 returns so far, that we'll see some benefit come to the city with a little bit of a reduction in our rates going forward. Also, what you're seeing here is we added about 7 additional bodies. So just from the employee headcount, you're going to see that number go up as well. And those were the 5 additional police and 2 additional parks. Then also one of the changes that we added this year, with the police services and park services, those really are just kind of a subcategory of the general fund. So if you look on page 63, you can see that we, for GAAP financial reporting, we do consolidate those into a total general operating fund. So when you look at the front of the statements, you can kind of see that that's how we're presenting just the general fund. So you're not going to see a separate park services, police up in the statements at the front of the financial statements. So if we move to page 65, this is our general fund, and this is the one that gets the most attention. This is our budgetary financial. So this is comparing our actual operations for the year in comparison to our budget. As we go through the different lines, the taxes and assessments, you can see that we had a fairly big pickup for the year in comparison to our budget. A lot of that is related to the marijuana tax. I can't really tell you the exact numbers because I'm under a secrecy agreement with the state, but that's the majority of the pickup.
So it's gone up, in other words. Yes. We can say it's gone up. Yes.
It's been significantly higher than I ever imagined it would be.
Well, very good. I like that. Thank you.
Yes. So half the town's high?
I'm not sure if I'm happy about that, but it's significantly
higher. No.
More people using weed. That's what I hear.
If you see, look at the locations, there's tons of cars at all of them in Kaiser.
All of them. Mm-hmm. Well, we changed those hours, too, and that just
that lost. Really helped.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And as we look at the license and permits, you can see it's down a little bit from where we budgeted. This is kind of the first sign of the impact of a slowdown. We just don't have the land to build up in Kaiser anymore. We're starting to see some reinvestment into existing properties, but a lot of the fresh new ground is just not there anymore. So, if you look at the intergovernmental line, we also did fairly well in comparison to our budget. Again, that's liquor tax, so liquor and marijuana, I guess. Jeez. That's where it's at. The fines and forfeitures line, we also did a little bit better than what we budgeted. We've benefited from having the full traffic team back on board.
Good.
When we look at 1920, we're going to see somewhat of a hiccup. We've had several of the officers out with workers' comp type related issues or medical leave and those kind of things. So we haven't been fully staffed within the traffic department this year. So.
Did the in and out cause us any costs as a city?
No, they actually paid us for all of our overtime costs.
They paid us. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Off the top of my head, I want to say we had folks out there for maybe a week, on and off throughout the week, and I think they paid us close to $20,000.
Okay.
So I'm not going to complain. They've been very, very good to deal with throughout the entire process. And they've definitely done this before and know exactly what to do. And
jeez, they did.
They sure did.
They're still lined up. Well, yeah, because they're still manning it only on the weekends, though, I think.
Friday and Saturdays are just crazy.
Just crazy.
Crazy.
I don't know, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. they were lined up because we walked right past them.
And I'm not going. Just don't go to Kaiser Station on the weekend.
Yeah. You know, I swore I would never go there.
Did you go?
I've been like 5 times.
Oh, damn.
Have you really? Oh. That is hilarious.
The longest I've waited is 45 minutes, though. So
really still a long time. You must have been really hungry by the time you got that double-double.
That's not exactly fast food, is it?
No.
That's right, Debbie. That's not fast food.
But my family is all gluten-free, so it's one of the few places that we can go where everything they serve is gluten-free.
Ah.
Everything except for their buns. So.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah, so we get everything protein style, and it's messy as all can be.
And good.
It's pretty good, yeah. It's also, as far as price goes, it's about the cheapest you'll find.
Oh, yeah.
I'm used to having to go, you know, to Adam's Ribs or somewhere like that for gluten-free food.
$70.
Yeah, $70, $80 compared to $30 at In-N-Out. So that's it. I saved my budget for sure. As we look down towards the expenditures, under administration, you'll see we had a fairly significant cost savings. We budgeted $2.5 million, and we came in at only $2.1 million. A lot of that is because we didn't spend some of our capital reserves, so that's a significant piece of it. But also just overall, we save wherever we can. As you know, going through our budget process, we typically budget more in expenses than we get in current year revenues. So this is us just kind of keeping the tight purse strings. Under the community development, there's also a big savings, and it's pretty consistent that we've seen throughout the year big savings there. We've been saving up some money for some of the ongoing urban growth boundary studies, traffic analysis, those kind of things. So we haven't spent any of that money during the 18-19, but we are going to see that we spend some in 19-20.
So you're bankrolling it for future expenditure.
Yeah, we're never quite sure when we're going to need that money, but we've set aside about $70,000-$80,000 to cover that. And unfortunately, it's not going to be near enough as we look to all the studies that we're ultimately going to have to do. But at least it's a start. Then with the police, you'll see a fairly big savings there. This is where we start getting into, do we have the budgeted resources to be able to keep the full staffing going? So you're going to see that we're probably down about one body, which is pretty normal for us. We budget a certain number of bodies, but we typically never fully staff, just because of turnover, because of the cost of paying out people's accruals and having to wait to rehire. A few of those kind of things. So there you're going to see some of the cost savings unfortunately in the personnel line. That'll be a topic for us at the long-range planning as we look at the police fee and kind of how we want to address that. With the police being, you know, more than about 70 to 75% of the general fund, if the general fund has any hiccups, that's unfortunately where it kind of hits first.
So at long-range planning, are we going to try and alleviate that? Because I know Elizabeth and I are doing the police academy, and Lieutenant Copeland said they're down 3.
Yeah, we're down.
I mean, Sergeant Goodman's retiring, but he's coming back. Mm-hmm. I mean, so
at this point, we're as far as budget constraints, we're down about 1.5, and again, that's because of the property tax misses, franchise fee misses, also with the recent retirees that we've had, they've all been the people kind of maxing out their vacation accruals, that kind of thing. So they have a fairly hefty payout that we have to do to, and also absorb that as we try to move forward. I think we do have some concerns about trying to address that. And again, police are the biggest ones that we've seen. You know, they have, you know, 50 bodies in comparison to the rest of the city, and they're also the ones where we're starting to see most of the retirements happen. So, yes, we will be looking at that in the long-range planning.
Okay. As I was reading through the rules, too, they don't cap sick time. You just can bank everything you've ever got in a career. There's not a limit on that?
There is a limit on the sick time, but it's so high that no one ever hits it. Okay. I want to say it's 3,000 or 4,000 hours, and
it's they don't get paid
very
for sick
high
time when they retire,
yeah.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
Yes, they do. That's in the rule.
Yeah. The sick time, it kind of varies depending on which tier of PERS you are. If you're tier 1 or tier 2 PERS, the sick time gets reported to PERS, and then they use that to calculate your final average salary. So it's not necessarily an immediate cash payout for the city, but they eventually get their money. For the people that are not Tier 1 or Tier 2, in order to make it equitable with the Tier 1, Tier 2 people, the city's policy has been to pay out half of the sick time balance in either a cash payment or a contribution to a retirement plan. And we've had some fairly large sick balances. A couple of them the last couple of years have been 1,900, 2,000 hours.
Hours a month, I think, or a month?
Approximately that, yes.
8 hours a month, and you can bank it. Mm-hmm. That's what the book said. It's a lot of sick time.
The accruals are kind of an interesting thing. I've kind of been watching them for 20 years, and there are certain people that use all the time they get, and then there's people that don't use any of their time. And there's really not very many people in the middle. I've never seen anyone hover at around 200 hours of vacation. It's always up towards the 400 cap or the zero. It's fascinating to me. I don't know why I follow that, but I do.
I think it's like that in a lot of organizations.
Because you're a numbers guy. That's what you do.
Organizations.
Okay. Could be a huge miss, though, on a budget to retirement.
Is that something
you can change? We're actually starting the policy manual review process again. It's been 8-9 years since we've looked at some of these things. So yeah, we are starting the process to review all of that stuff. So.
You said that could totally blow a budget.
It could destroy a budget. Two people retire in a calendar year.
I'm not going to lie. We have a certain community development person who keeps talking about retirement, but won't give us an exact date. And the closer to the end of the fiscal year we get, the more likely I'm going to have to do a budget adjustment just to be able to pay out his vacation accrual.
Wow.
So, yeah, it makes me nervous.
Sneak him on vacation.
Yeah.
I knew that was a concern in the back of my head for quite a while because I did have one of the officers that retired say how many hours. You what? We let you do that? So that's a huge concern because it can...
Well, officers have even more challenges. They do what they call a Louisiana plan, where they work 84 hours in a two-week period. So every 2 weeks, they get 4 hours basically of comp time that they have to use. And it always becomes a challenge for them to try to work in their comp time in addition to holiday time off because they accrue time off for holidays, on top of their vacation time, and then the bottom bucket that they can use is their sick time. So they have plenty of areas to hit, and all of them are kind of hitting, maxing up against their comp time number and their holiday number all the time, so it's always a struggle to get people to take time off. So, and again, if we could figure out how to resolve some of our, what do we do when we have turnover issue, you know, some of that time may get used up. It would be easier for them to use that time. The only other page I want to talk about is 94. This is our community center fund. We had some talk last year about what was going to happen with the TOT tax now that we have two hotels, and are we going to be cannibalizing ourselves? And the answer is no. I've been amazed at the TOT tax revenue. I budgeted $100,000 last year, and we're actually at $200,000. So
oh, yeah.
Twice
I
as
mean,
much.
It's the crazy busy full all the time. And in and out, that really helped Holiday Inn Express because they were full all the time.
In different markets, I think.
Yeah.
I think they are a different market. I know downtown they were looking at long range and conferences and different venue type of.
Yeah, because Quality Suites belongs to like a big conglomerate. And so, yeah, they're a different, whole different thing.
Even Quality Suites has benefited, from In and Out or whatever else.
I think so too.
Their TOT has been
this is amazing
over last year as well.
Wow, this is amazing.
I think for
yes they are
for 1920 I think we're going to be closer to 240,000.
Wow, nice.
We've made more in the first quarter than we made in entire years in the past.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, exactly. I remember some light years.
And also the charges for room rentals. We're $86,000 more than what we had budgeted. So again, we've been crazy busy for a fairly long period.
Now, did we get a person hired?
We're still working on it. We did the first round of interviews, and we really didn't see anyone that we were jumping up and down about. So So rather than just settle, we're reopening the recruitment. So if you know of anyone who'd like to apply.
It's swing shift, which is works really good for a few people, but a lot of other people it doesn't.
Yeah.
Getting the word out too. So churches, Tracy, I think, is going to put it in some grocery stores where they have employment bulletin boards and that sort of thing. So reaching out a little more than we have been able to.
I know we're at our agency, we're looking at LinkedIn and a lot more social media posting job opportunities. Because we're seeing the same thing. We're having not qualified candidates on some very highly skilled jobs.
Well, the unemployment rate in this area is still really, really low.
Really low.
It's the lowest I've seen since I've been with the city. So.
Well, there's a group of people down by Nordstrom's. I'm sure you can find some.
Qualified.
Oh, qualified. Oh, darn.
All righty then. So, again, for rental revenue, we're probably going to be well above $200,000 again for this year as well.
Fantastic.
It's a positive
sign. Putting money back into it finally now, right? The new carpet,
correct,
paint.
Correct. Yeah, we have I wouldn't say we have a long list of things, but we have a list of things that we're slowly working through. We just had someone out today looking at the sound system over there again.
Good.
It's been a kind of a chronic problem for us. This sound system throughout this entire building has been a chronic problem, to be honest. So after 10 years, we're going to be looking at doing
good.
Something different. And we have the resources now in the community center to be able to do that.
That's what about, I know we've talked when we've been a couple of events where they have, the large TV and that stand is just, or the screen, the stand is just, it sticks out. I mean, I think it's just awkward. I'll just put it that way.
I just think we need to start getting them from the ceiling like we have here. I mean, because that's the way.
We've talked about that, and then they're not as movable. And because of the kind of facility that we have a variety of places that those screens end up depending on the kind of event that we're having. And so that would be the best way. I mean,
I think you could do it. You just have to have somebody come in and look at it, but, that would really be the most feasible, probably the least expensive. You don't have to worry about it getting broken or torn when you're taking it down. I mean, it's
other than you may need multiple ones because that's the location.
Need a lot, sometimes they're in a corner facing catty corner. Sometimes they're at that back end.
Yeah, but you don't give them that option too, though. I mean, some places you don't do that. Some you just say, look, this is where our screens are. Here, here, and here. Now, how do we set the room up to that? And that's how you do it. That's what we always did when we had events, big events. We had 400 people in a room. I mean, there's only so many places you can put it. So I think we need to look into that, though.
So those are kind of the highlights of the financial reports. I guess just to reiterate some of the big transactions that we had. We had the Kaiser Rapids Park Big Toy Phase 2 get wrapped up. We had the bridge project get wrapped up. Those were two of the main projects, and everything else was just kind of the ongoing, regular, recurring stuff. That
so we don't have anything out there in grants now that we get paid back for now?
I'm not aware of any outstanding.
Those are done.
So, yeah, we're kind of at the end.
Cool.
And if you have any other questions on the financial statements, at this point, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Kathy Wilson, our auditor.
Thank you all for allowing me to come and talk with you about the audit for 2018-19 from City Kaiser. In the big document, thank you, sorry. In the big document, there are two reports in here that belong to us. Everything else belongs to you. On page one is the beginning of our independent auditor's report. It talks about the report on the financial statements and the presentation. It talks about management's responsibility related to those financial statements. And it also talks about the auditor's responsibility. The most important paragraph is the one on page two that talks about our opinion. And so I'm happy to say that our opinion is unmodified, which means you have a clean opinion. You will note that there is an emphasis a matter paragraph that's included in here for this year. There was a change at the Secretary of State's office. We noted during some of their desk reviews, field reviews that they were doing, that they were recommending that utility or enterprise funds do some combination of these. You know, everybody has an SDC fund, some people have reserve funds, et cetera. They wanted to see all of those things rolled up into one for presentation purposes, because the definition of an enterprise fund doesn't really meet those kind of residual funds, but those funds should really follow the sources of monies, where those monies came from. So we talked about it, and Tim agreed that that would be a good idea. You already were doing that with your water fund, and so you did the same thing with your sewer fund. And so we just wanted to make sure we called that out here in our report so that you were aware of that. Other than that, this is pretty much the same stuff that we usually have regarding required supplementary information and supplementary information. The other thing that this references is our report in the back of the document, which if there's no questions related to the opinion, we'll move back there. That is the report to the state of Oregon regarding your compliance with Oregon state regulations as it relates to minimum standards and local budget law. And everything was fine. We had no findings. There was nothing at all to report there. So good job. We appreciate people that are diligent and work hard to try to make sure that they stay within the parameters of what they're supposed to work within. There is a second document that I think was provided in your packets. That's the governance letter. And so this is our required communications with you, and just kind of lays out the parameters of the audit in total. Oops, like this?
The December 13th letter, right?
Yes, it's the one dated December 13th, correct. So it talks about, talks about the audit, talks about our responsibility in relation to it, talks about our compliance with ethical and independent standards that are set forth by best practices, and then it goes into talking about your significant accounting policies. You did have one change in significant accounting policies this year. There was a new governmental accounting standards board statement that came out that all governments had to adopt, or they would have a not unmodified opinion because you wouldn't be following the rules. Statement 88, which was related to debt, and really what this statement required was more disclosure related to what types of debt were out there, direct placement versus out in the open market, and then what government's responsibilities were related to default. Those were the two big areas that this hit. And so in the note for, in your long-term debt footnote, there's some additional information that's included in there that you haven't seen in the past. Nothing to be concerned about, just that you guys are complying with the new rules. We had no issues related to the audit. Everybody was very responsive. Tim's always very responsible. Staff is always very helpful. People are just friendly and easy to work with here. We appreciate that. We had no misstatements that we needed to bring to your attention. We had a few, I think, trivial ones, but there were nothing to be of any concern.
No. I would just add, if there is any discrepancies, we typically always book any adjustments that are found, so we don't want to leave anything lingering out there for previous year, for the following years.
Right, it can cause issues going forward. And if there were any that were material, they would be included in with this report, so, but they were not. There were no disagreements with management. Attached is the representation letter signed by management that says that we were provided access to everything that they provided was true and correct and complete. We had really no other significant matters or issues. It was just a very clean audit, and that's kind of what we've come to expect from you guys, so just have to keep doing that.
Boring is good.
We appreciate it, yes. Boring is good. In an auditor's world, boring is a good thing. So, any questions?
So I have one, Kathy or Tim. I know we did a solicitation a while ago, and I believe we have a 5-year agreement. Is that right? 3-year, 5-year? So, and this is not, you know, so where are we in that particular contract? Do we know?
I think the initial agreement was for 3 years, and then we had two additional two-year periods. So I think we're in the middle of the second, in the middle of the first two-year period.
Okay. And then I know it's been discussed, I guess, because I've been here a long time, that when we have audits, we're changing auditor staff as well. So it's not just Kathy all the time, or we have other people looking, so it's not the same auditor.
Right. We try to keep some people in place just right. because with familiarity, there's, there's just things that they could catch that maybe somebody who's not as familiar wouldn't necessarily notice. I'm the partner on the engagement, and so I've been assigned to sign all of your reports and present that. If there's an issue, there is the potential that we can move the audit around to somebody else and that they could be the partner on that. Staff, we always have new faces that are out.
I would say it's probably about a 50% new faces every year from a staff level.
Thank you.
I guess as far as any other items, the final agenda item, I don't really have much to add this time. We've already talked a little bit about the TOT tax. Something we're going to need to keep an eye on is the Volcano Stadium. There is a lot of stuff in the news right now about doing away with some of the minor league teams, and the Volcanoes were one of those teams. As far as a financial impact for the city, the immediate impact, if they were to go away, would be a loss of about $50,000 of rental income. They pay us for using their, I guess every car that parks at their stadium, they give us 50 cents or something like that. So that would be the immediate impact. But
well, and their contributions to nonprofits and some other things that they
do. Well, long term, but that land is a valuable piece of land right there, though. So I think it would be, I mean, if we lost it to the Volcanoes, I think we'd gain it somewhere else, and that revenue might even be higher than what it is now. So, because they got a sweet deal right now.
Mm-hmm. They got a real sweet deal.
I would agree with you. Plus all the land that we own that surrounds it.
Yeah, so I'm not worried one bit if that happened, because that land is a valued piece of land right there.
There are, again, motel, though, and some other things that I think the second, third order effects that we don't always see, I think, just moving them out.
Well, the Volcanoes didn't use the hotels in our town. They have a contract with a hotel out by Costco, because we didn't have hotels in the town when the Volcanoes came, and they couldn't make it.
Negotiate that.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what we talked to them about last year. They did place a few players at the Holiday Inn Express, but mainly, like, we always had to go out to Costco. The hotel out there is because they started out there with them, and so they house, and that's where even the other teams go.
Okay.
So, so it's not going to be,
50 grand in income a year.
That's huge.
For that property, which is.
Yeah, the loss.
Right. I mean, that's a loss to the city, I think, in my personal opinion, but you already know that because I called you on it.
You did, yes.
I called you on it right away. I was like, wait a minute.
Yes, if we had that land, there would be a lot that we could do with it, for sure. Yeah.
Can you say Costco?
No. I think we have traffic problems.
Yeah, right. Drop that in there, Seattle. I love that.
Need new
it's been on Silverton, like Silverton together. It's been in Silverton. There's been discussion that the Costco is coming out here. Just so
really?
You know.
Because all the cities, all the businesses in the city of Salem are like, we're going to move to Kaiser.
That's nice. Right. They're all coming to Kaiser.
The only other area that gives me some concern, we mentioned it Monday or Tuesday night at the city council meeting, is the Comcast franchise agreement that we're renegotiating or in the process of negotiating. That could have some impact on our PEG funds, probably some fairly significant impacts.
Now,
we've
then
been
we'd
kind
have
of
to
delaying
cut out some live shows.
The negotiation of that for several years. Mm-hmm. Both sides have been kind of not talking about it. And now they're kind of forcing the issue a little bit with us. So there could be some impacts. Not quite sure what those will be. I know the rest of the world can't use the PEG funds to pay for, like, K-23 for people to actually operate. They can use it for equipment, but not the production. So that would be a significant impact for us. But yet to be determined. That's right.
I can't see anything.
You know nothing. Know nothing.
I know nothing. I really don't have any actual say in it. I wish I could call them up and be like, you should be nicer to the city.
Yeah, that would go bad for all of us.
Probably.
With that, I don't have anything else, so if there's any questions, if not, I appreciate everyone being here. I know it's not the most exciting of times, but that's good.
All right, look at that. We adjourned 1 minute sooner than we did last year. Woohoo!